doesn't accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Vaffanculo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, we're very pleased today to be featuring a journalist who has a storied career. She's been under attack. She's had to seek exile abroad. She has a new book, At the Breaking Point of History, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled the Pandemic, that I highly recommend. It begins with From Lead Pipes in Flint, Michigan, to a duplicitous water commission in Medford, Oregon, to a secret psychiatric ward at UCLA, to the elegant halls of the Palais des Nations in Geneva, Switzerland, At the Breaking Point of History relentlessly details the U.S. government's indifference to the welfare of individuals and to its legal obligations under national and international accords, prohibiting human experimentation and biological and chemical weapons. Phelan uncovers shocking machinations executed at the highest and lowest levels of power, pointing toward a pandemic of as yet unrealized proportions. I cannot imagine a more appropriate and timely book. Janet Phelan, welcome to the event.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really am looking forward to this show, Jim.
Well, we're delighted, Janet, and I commend you for continuing your publication efforts, even under serious disadvantageous circumstances where you, like other targeted individuals, have been hit with a lot of what I would describe as terroristic weaponry in this new high-tech age. We only hope you are going to survive and continue to thrive.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your good thoughts. We're certainly seeing, shall we say, a chilling effect on or mechanisms being used against certain journalists. There's a sort of legal mechanisms, lawfare going on, certainly concerning Julian Assange, and up until recently, Mark Crispin Miller, a journalism professor at NYU, was under some fairly serious legal sorts of attack. But unfortunately, the governments have also resorted to the use of unconventional weapons against certain individuals now. And while I don't claim to have been attacked with electronic weapons like a lot of targeted individuals have claimed, that I am certainly being attacked by unconventional weapons, which have made my life very difficult. So I'm actually so pleased that my book has been published and is getting the attention that it is, because the situation we find ourselves in now far transcends and exceeds certain attacks on certain individuals. In fact, the whole globe is now under a level of attack. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. So.
Indeed, indeed. Scorpio, your thoughts, a preliminary reaction to Janet's book and her presence here today.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. And Janet, I'm not sure, but did you write some articles, or is it included in your book about the use of municipal drinking water to spread pathogens?
Yes. In the my book is divided into a number of sections that sort of take us through some legalistic maneuvers that the United States has taken to promote a biological weapons agenda, and then into the book goes into quite a bit about the U.S.'s obsession with genetics. And in the final section of the book, the pandemic section, I do include quite a bit of information about other delivery systems, other ways that populations can be attacked in a pandemic scenario that does not include a pathogen or a countermeasure, i.e. a vaccine. And yes, there is not only information about the water systems, but there is an exhibit section in the book that provides what I believe is irrefutable proof.
Yes, yes. I believe I saw an interview with you. You're in currently in Mexico, is that correct?
That is correct. I'm in Chiapas, Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was living in Ecuador for about 5 years. And you know, I saw an interview with you that I thought was just absolutely fascinating, where you talked about the possibility of using municipal water systems to spread pathogens. And, you know, I think that, first of all, we have to question every aspect about this so-called pandemic, that it's being spread because we're breathing on each other and we're too close to each other and we're hugging each other. You know, it's possible that they're using other methods to spread this pathogen. And I don't even know if it's a virus or if it's some other type of pathogen. I think everything is open to question right now. And it's possible that they are, you know, actually spraying this on us, because, you know, this is just an anecdotal, you know, report that I've just from my own observations. But, you know, they hadn't been chemtrailing here in, I'm in San Diego currently. They hadn't been chemtrailing in San Diego hardly at all for months and months and months. And then over the last 2 to 3 weeks, there's just been incredibly heavy chemtrailing to the point where the whole sky is pretty much blocked out. And then lo and behold, now, you know, everybody I know is coming down with some type of, you know, sickness, flu-like symptoms. I'm kind of being hit by right now. And I just wondered if you looked into that and maybe about spraying, and maybe you could go into your research on water systems, because this is something that I haven't heard anyone else talk about other than you. So please go ahead.
Yes. Well, I think that we're being hit with a multiplicity of delivery systems. There is a chapter in my book where I discuss a triangulation of attacks involving not only the potential for problematic vaccines, but also this water nonsense, which could best be deployed during a lockdown scenario, because that way you have people confined to their houses, and what are they going to use for drinking and bathing and so forth is, of course, the house water. Now, if this sounds like science fiction, and I wouldn't blame anyone for thinking it does sound like science fiction, I really encourage you to read the chapters in the book and look at the exhibit section, because we have blueprints, we have communications back and forth between government officials, which are extremely revealing. And we have further documentation as to not only the setup of this double line water system, but also photographs of remote controlled valves, how a system like this would be remotely controlled through, let's say, a cell phone, a command sent out on a laptop and so forth. This is now at play. And I think it is very important that people realize that, yes, vaccines can and apparently are creating problems, but there are other concerns. And if we're going to be safe and if we're going to be healthy, we have to pay attention to the other concerns. Now, spraying, excuse me, is something that people have been talking about for quite a while, and it is of grave concern because we do know that historically there have been sprays that have resulted in pathogens being distributed to unsuspecting populations. We do not have disclosure at this point in time what these sprays are currently consisting of. So we're almost achieving the status of lab rats, I would say.
Scorpio, I'm very troubled by your report about chemtrails because I think it's entirely feasible they're putting the contents of the vax into these chemtrails, and that when you have hysteria coming from this Joe Biden, he's shouting, making incoherent demands, you can tell the pressure on him and the Biden administration to get every American vaccine is simply overwhelming. I have said before, and we now have reinforcement, that the Rothschilds are behind it. They actually were patenting in the Netherlands in 2015, in the United States 2017, tests for COVID-19, which wouldn't be announced for years to come. The Rothschilds were patenting those test kits. It's just stunning what's going on. It seems to me they are the only sufficiently powerful, resource-rich, controlling trillions. They don't mind expending as much as they want because when they win the victory, they recoup it all in terms of gaining control of the entirety of planet Earth, which I have no doubt is the objective. Would you be inclined to agree that that may be indeed what's taking place here?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. We're playing for the sum total of everything on planet Earth, including human beings, as a so-called resource. I think they've determined that they just don't need nearly as many human beings as there are currently on the Earth to run their new system, which they intend to be highly mechanized. And I believe the state of robots, again, this sounds like science fiction, as Janet just said, but I believe that the state of robot technology is far in advance as to what we're being told, and that they intend to roll out these robots in the near future.
I think there's an unexpected problem there because the maintenance of those robots are not going to be able to maintain themselves. There's a great need for humans. I don't understand if they're going to have robots to produce products, who they think is going to consume or purchase the products. It's all bizarre. I see a collapsing system. If they succeed, I believe what they've created will not be self-sustaining. I think it will collapse of its own weight. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, first, it's an honor to have the excellent muckraking journalist Janet Phelan on the show. I'm glad you're here. And my first question is, how did you've been doing a lot of brilliant articles for decades. How did you determine the structure and content of your new book? How would you describe it to the listener or viewer who hasn't read it? And tell us about your process. How did you take probably thousands of pages of ideas and distill it into the book?
Oh, well, that's a daunting question. To try to answer, and I'll do the best I can. When the pandemic first hit, it became clear to me that most of the media, the mainstream media, and to a great extent the independent media, was reporting this as a sort of surprise event. And they were reporting it outside of any sort of context. And I have been writing and researching about the biological weapons agenda since about 2004, actually. So when this was reported as this sort of singular event, like someone ate a sick bat in Wuhan and the whole world got sick, right? Well, that does not do justice to the evolution of the U.S. and its pandemic agenda. So I wanted to make, first of all, clear in the book that the U.S. has been involved in, shall we say, legal hanky-panky going back at least to the USA Patriot Act in terms of changing and promoting laws that will service a pandemic agenda. And the first that I landed on and go into in some depth, because it ended up being rather significant, was the change to law in regarding biological weapons in the USA Patriot Act. And that would be Section 817, the expansion of the biological weapons statute. And in that statute, shockingly, the U.S. gives itself immunity, legal immunity, from violating its own biological weapons laws. Now, this immunity did not exist before it was, the U.S. gave itself this immunity in the Patriot Act. And the implications of this are disturbing and far-reaching. For example, the U.S. is a party to an international treaty, the Biological Weapons Convention, which is intended to prohibit the development, stockpiling, deployment, et cetera, of biological weapons. So questions have been raised as to whether this section in the Patriot Act de facto violates the Biological Weapons Convention. I went to the convention in Geneva, Switzerland twice in 2011 and again in 2016. Every 5 years they have a review conference, which is the major meeting for the Biological Weapons Convention. And the first thing that I was trying to figure out was whether or not the U.S. actually even reported this change in legislation to the convention at large. Under the terms of the convention, the U.S. is mandated to report any alteration in its biological weapons activities to the convention. That would be lab activity and changes in legislation. So the first stop on my list in Geneva, Switzerland in 2011 was to figure out if the U.S. even reported this change to the convention. They did not.
Wow.
They did not. And I, after being assured by a delegate from the U.S. State Department that it was merely an oversight, I wandered into a side event that was hosted by the U.S. during the lunch hour. It was side events was sort of part of, but separate from the main convention activities. And in this side event, a member of the Department of Homeland Security made a PowerPoint presentation to inform the hundreds of people in the room what strong and vital and vibrant legislation the U.S. had concerning biological weapons. And the PowerPoint presentation was of the old law. It did not reveal the existence of Section 817. Anybody listening to this show can go ahead and Google 817 and scroll down to the bottom where it says, the prohibitions contained in this section shall not apply to any duly authorized U.S. governmental activity. Hello? You know, right. But it became clear to me, just to sum up here, that the oversight, the negligence I was told was resulted in this failure to report 817 was in fact deliberate, because the U.S. failed to disclose this in the side event. So
I'm sure Scorpio doesn't find that at all surprising. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, that's fascinating. I was unaware of that. And, you know, Janet, that really is a testimony to your sort of in-depth research. And, you know, what I'm struck by, too, is, you know, how there's been absolutely no looking into, like, well, hey, maybe we should shut down all these biological, you know, experimentation labs that are around the world. There's been no accountability, because it's quite obvious they've been working on so-called gain of function and developing, you know, deadly pathogens for probably since, you know, it's going back to World War II. Again, the technology is far in advance of what the public is being told, and this is all under the umbrella of national security. Oh, we'd like to tell you, but we can't, because it's national security. But, of course, this is all a facade. It's all a scam to essentially have a parallel reality where you have technology and information that's far beyond what the average person understands. And it's sort of like, you know, we're all like these islanders that are first seeing, you know, ships on the ocean and have no idea what they are. And, you know, it's sort of a modern version of that. We're sort of these natives that don't really have any real perception of reality that these other people live in. So we're sort of a captive population. Maybe you could comment on that.
Well, I think that's a very astute comment. And unfortunately, we have a contingent of people now who claim that they follow science. Well, science is not a fixed entity. Science is a process through which hopefully truths are arrived at. And we have such a dispute now as to what this science is actually revealing. You know, we have Fauci lying about gain of function research. Apparently, he's now admitting, or has it has been disclosed, that he already knew that ivermectin works, but he came out very strongly against it in order to herd people into getting a vaccine. So, you know, science is not something that is determined and is forever. Science is a process of inquiry, and this inquiry is being squelched. We have journalists who are afraid to report what they're finding. We have scientists who are under attack for publishing articles questioning the official narrative. We need to understand that following science, well, that's a great idea. You know, we all need to apply a process of determination to our findings. But doing that is not the same as just listening to a talking head on TV and going, that's right, he says it, it must be true. No, that is not following science.
Well, yeah, and the science is never settled. You know, quite frankly, that's just not the way it works. And maybe the science will be settled when we're all time traveling. We have, flying cars and there's no disease. Until then, the science is not settled. And it's just it's sort of a code for, you know, shut up and do as you're told, essentially.
Oh, and so is this word conspiracy theorist. I was checking the, some of the Wikipedia entries on you, Dr. Fetzer, recently, I've been following some of your work for quite some time now, and you are certainly very brave, and you're following your own path here. But according to Wikipedia, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, what's a conspiracy theorist? I mean, is that someone who questions what the talking heads say on TV? Because we're now finding out that they lie. So somebody who delves deeper into factual investigations is now to be thrown onto a garbage heap called conspiracy theorists. I mean, this is
really
unacceptable, isn't it?
Conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes that the government prefers not to have investigated because they lead back to the government. So, you know, it better term for it is conspiracy realist or conspiracy analyst for those of us who are actually exposing the shenanigans of the government. But since most of these crimes are perpetrated by the CIA, what better than for the CIA to denigrate those who are threatening to expose their own shenanigans? Scorpio.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's just a term, again, it's sort of a term just to say, you know, shut up and do as you're told and don't think outside the parameters of what the weaponized media tells us. I call it the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media. That's really all it is. And, you know, Janet, maybe you could comment on this, having a background in journalism. You know, how do you see, like, what happened to journalism? Why do we have so many cowards who simply do as they're told? They don't look into the most, you know, cursory look into the obvious lies we're being fed. What do you think the method by which they're controlling these journalists? Because I've never seen such a sorry state of affairs for journalism since I've been alive.
It's absolutely shocking. And I certainly experienced it firsthand. Back in 2004, I was writing a weekly column for the Santa Monica Daily Press, and I had gotten on to this tweaked water system, which can function as a chemical biological delivery system. Now, you start talking about things like that.
Hold that. We're about to hit a break. I thought you might appreciate that. If you want to get a cup of tea or whatever, we'll be about minutes in the break. Yeah.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to the event. We're live, Jim. And we're joined by guest Janet Phelan, the muckraking, brilliant journalist of the last several decades who's just released a new book. And back to you, Jim Fetzer.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for picking up, Janet. I did not mean to discontinue your train of thought, so pick it up wherever you'd like.
Right. Well, I was giving an example of what happened to me personally when I started to ask, as a member of the media, inconvenient questions. And I'd like to finish up with that little anecdote and then talk about the general state of the media. So I was writing a weekly column at the Santa Monica Daily Press, and I got on to this water story, and I felt that the best way to proceed with this was to begin to document it. So I went over to Santa Monica City Hall, to their engineering department, and plunked down a Public Records Act request for records having to do with the water systems, just kind of broadly. And within 6 hours, I got a call from my editor at the Santa Monica Daily Press, Carolyn Sakariasin, who left me a very upset voicemail in which she said I was endangering her position as editor of the Santa Monica Daily Press by making this Public Records Act request, and that she had not authorized me to ask these questions. Just to clarify, columnists have quite a bit more latitude than some who just do like daily reporting. And I had never had to clear anything that I was writing about with Carolyn before this. But I figured there was a grave misunderstanding here, so I went over to the office to talk to her about it. I was barred from seeing her. Everybody in the office was acting as if I was had cooties, right? So that was the end of my job. So so I did obviously go ahead and continue to work the story, but I'd like to make a couple comments on what this says about the state of the media, because apparently there are lines that reporters are not to cross or they'll lose their job. That certainly happened to me. But I think it's even more serious than that, because if you look at the situation now with the coronavirus, and we have people dying in droves, and we don't even really know what they're dying of. Are they dying from the virus? Are they dying from the vaccine? Are they dying possibly from the lockdown and the messed up water? We don't even know. But one thing we know for sure is death is roaming the planet now and striking people down. So I would suspect that since we have so many weapons that have been unleashed on unsuspecting people, that the media, members of the press, might be a little concerned about their own viability if they step out of line. And I think that this may explain some of what we're seeing as complicit press. Don't you think so, Jim?
Yes, yes, I think you're right. Giuseppe, would you like to pick up?
Absolutely, completely concur. My first degree back in the 80s, late 70s, well, I graduated in 82, was journalism, and I wrote for the Milwaukee Sentinel and many other publications during the 80s, and, you know, could see it coming and got tired of being censored even then and moved on to various things, and it's outrageous to me now. There isn't journalism anymore. I mean, other than in the independent media such as yourself. I mean, the level of out-and-out gaslighting and control by the globalist controllers is just offensive. I mean, the whole intent and used to be legal protection for the Fourth Estate. You know, ideally, the Fourth Estate should be like a Rottweiler on a chain trying to get at the criminals in government and corporations and in academia and what have you. And instead, the journalism today, the globalist gaslighting entity is like a little teacup chihuahua licking the hands of the very people they should be exposing. And I'd like to get your thoughts on the idea that going back to your shocking revelation about what is going on with this death that's haunting and attacking many people on the planet. It seems like it is absolutely a planned initiative. And what are your thoughts about the idea that a good friend of ours, friend of show, and a great investigative citizen journalist in his own right, Clint Richardson, did a series of documentaries about 10 years ago called Lethal Injection, and he used the Freedom of Information Act to gain access to taped, video recorded meetings of these various PhD level researchers who are, you know, reanimating the Spanish flu pathogen, and they literally come off like sociopaths, or more accurately psychopaths, and they know what they're doing, and they joke about how under the so-called umbrella of research they can do all this bioweapon research, which they call gain of function. And to this day we're seeing the bitter fruit that gain of function reaps. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. You know, I'm not familiar with the documentaries you're talking about. I'd sure like to take a look at them.
Well, I'll get you the links there on BitChute, on his BitChute channel. I'll email them to you.
Well, it's very heartening to know that people are exposing the level of inhumanity that seems to be afflicting our technocrats.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this level of inhumanity, this sociopathy, appears to be trickling down to the larger population. I know that certain studies have claimed that only this very small percentage of people are actually sociopaths or psychopaths. Sometimes the words are used interchangeably. Sometimes they mean actually a bit different things. But generally, we're talking about people who don't give a good hoot about other people. But what seems to be happening is that I have become convinced that character qualities such as empathy, concern for others, selflessness are actually far less fixed in most people's constellation, personality constellation, than possibly was previously thought of by those who construct these personality tests and so forth, because it appears that people bend very easily to commands, mandates, dictates from those who are perceived as more powerful. And I think this was revealed in Stanley Milgram's famous experiments on obedience to authority. I mean, just you'd have a white coat walk into a room and tell someone, well, just shock this person, you know, just
right.
The shocks. And lo and behold, almost everybody just said, okay, even knowing that they were hurting somebody else or thinking that they were hurting someone else. And there's also the existence of what's called identification with the aggressor, or sometimes referred to as the Stockholm syndrome, that when you have a clearly powerful entity that is kind of running the show, that people tend to migrate in their thinking to protecting and enabling the powerful entity, even if they're committing horrible crimes. So I'm beginning to wonder if the entire globe is not more or less now afflicted with some sort of obviously not everybody, but so many people afflicted with some sort of Stockholm syndrome.
Well, I'd like to follow up quickly that in my mind, the big change of this entrancement or entrainment has come from the massive release of social media use. I mean, it seems like even in 2009, the globalist parasites sought to pull one of their vaccine scams and their phony pandemics with the bird flu, and nobody fell for it. Even 60 Minutes, I don't know if it was Mike Wallace or one of them, what was doing interviews that you can still find them on YouTube and such, where they were grilling a CDC official and grilling, and the whole thing fell apart. And boom, the advent of LifeLog becoming Facebook and Twitter and what was it back then, MySpace and all these things. And all of a sudden, these people are so entranced into this hive mind / Stockholm syndrome thing. Everyone's going along with this obvious scamdemic that, you know, is a rebranded flu season. And now they're doing a rebranded cold winter sniffles as Omicron. It's all a bunch of, pardon my French, horse shit. There were 38 million cases documented of flu symptoms in 2019 to 2020. All of a sudden that dropped to 3,800 cases approximately in 2021. And now all of a sudden the flu's coming back. It's all rebranding with this mind control Stockholm syndrome. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, well, I think a decision was made. Okay, personally, I think that the events of September and October of 2001 were put into place specifically with certain goals in mind, one of which was to enable a pandemic. That's why 817 appears in the Patriot Act. That's why the anthrax attacks took place, which, of course, jump-started huge amounts of funding to the U.S.'s biological weapons program. So I think a decision was made. Like George Bush said, well, let's roll, right? So now we're rolling. Now we're rolling. And this, I think, was a one of the goals of the events of September 11th. Obviously, there were other goals having to do with invasions in the Middle East and so forth. But if you look at the whole ball of wax together, you can see where these different supposedly discrete events like invading Iraq, Afghanistan, et cetera, and then, of course, the pandemic are not so discrete and isolate after all. So as far as social media goes, you know, I think we've got, what was it, the words Dr. Robert Malone recently used, mass formation psychosis?
Yeah, right, the new buzz.
And he, of course, is the inventor of the mRNA technology, so that it's coming from him is particularly noteworthy.
Well, I'm so pleased that we have people who are actually standing up and saying, look, something is really wrong here. Something's not only wrong with the story, something's wrong with your accepting the story. And I'm pleased to see that that these people are getting at least airtime on Joe Rogan, if not so much on CNN.
Scorpio.
Yeah, well, Jenna, I thought you brought up a really important point earlier about, you know, sort of connecting 9/11 to this, you know, so-called pandemic. I think you're just spot on. And it shows that, you know, these conspirators are playing the long game. They're playing it out slowly, and they plan things out 10, 20 years at a time. And I think the correlation between 9/11 and this so-called pandemic are absolutely – it's crucial to point this out. And, of course, you know, I'm not a big numbers guy, but, you know, we had the 19 hijackers. And then, coincidentally, now we have, you know, COVID-19. So, you know, that's not proof positive of anything, but it's just an interesting thing to note. And I think what you just pointed out was just very vital. And my question to you, though, is, you know, we're obviously dealing with this vast conspiracy, and John F. Kennedy even talked about a vast conspiracy that, you know, is monolithic and you know, enormous. And that was in what I think he gave that speech in 1963, not long before he was publicly executed. And so, from your research, what do you think the top of the pyramid is? You know, from where I sit, it really has to be the people that control the money supply, the central bankers, because if you, you know, as they say, money makes the world go round. And if you can control, you know, the creation and distribution of money, then really you can bribe or coerce anyone into anything you want. And then you can fund all the science and create all these organizations through, you know, the printing of magic money. So what do you think the tip of the pyramid is in this grand conspiracy?
That the intelligence agencies are actually threatening people I think that's become, in my own limited experience, I know that to be true. And so we have guys on the ground who come from the very entities, the government, that are supposed to be protecting and protecting our rights, and they come as emissaries of law enforcement, and they threaten people. So who do you go to? I mean, who do you go to when, you know, the government itself is the danger? So I think there's certainly a conglomeration
Well, yeah, and the intelligence agencies have been described by many as sort of like a private goon squad for the bankers.
Yeah.
And there's no question that intelligence agencies are endemic, you know, in our society. I have personal experience with this. You know, my eldest uncle was a Navy SEAL, actually underwater demolition team, and was involved in a lot of covert things during his life. And he later got into academics, and he told me that he knew for a fact that at every major university, there was CIA people put into place to sort of monitor the different departments. And this is from a man that was, you know, sort of on the inside. He had a big falling out and was kicked out of the club for a variety of reasons, because I think there was lines he wasn't willing to cross. And so these intelligence agencies are in the media as well. We know that from the Operation Mockingbird. They have penetrated every aspect of our lives and operate as sort of a secret goon squad for the bankers. So that's one way of looking at it anyway.
Oh, I think that's a very telling. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to get Janet's thoughts, to get her to elaborate on what she believes is actually being put in the water these days. I mean, I think that something's going on. I mean, we use a Berkey gravity filter that can filter out most things. And if anybody's drinking regular water, they're really doing a serious disservice to their own health, a tap water or what have you. And also validating what Scorpio observed earlier about the massive chemtrail spraying. I live 11 miles west of the District of Criminals, and it has been so off the chain. They're even spraying chemtrails at night. We have three Siberian Huskies, and we like to walk them later at night to avoid other dogs and things. And they've been spraying even at night, and they're just painting the sky, and they've been doing it for, you know, over a month now. It's just madness. And so what do you think they're putting in these various trying to get into us?
Yeah, I think this is a very important question. First of all, I'd like to clarify the implications of what I've discovered about the water systems, because what I have discovered, which I discuss in the book, and which the exhibit section amplifies through documentation, is the ability to launch a selective attack. So let's say somebody doesn't like people named Giuseppe in DC, okay? Then what they can do with this water nonsense is to specifically target you and your house with whatever is in this mysterious second line. I call this, I tend to refer to this system as the double line water system, because we have a second line which has the potential of being able to carry any pathogen or chemical, or, as I'm prone to say, vodka. Let's say they want to get you drunk.
Yeah.
Okay. All they have to do is remotely release the valve that inhibits the vodka in the second line and put it into your service line, Giuseppe. So this is a mechanism to selectively remove or impact people who are considered undesirable. Now, who's undesirable?
Right.
Is it conspiracy theorists? Is it racially or religiously motivated? I tend to think that there is a very strong racial and eugenics component to all of this going on. And actually, there is a section in my book, which is titled State of the Science, which goes into, in some depth, the U.S.'s interest in creating gene-specific weapons.
I think, Giuseppe, that Scorpio's observation about over San Diego, your observation about doing this at night, overwhelmingly, it's the same ingredients in the vaccinations and the vaccines, which aren't real vaccines. It's got to be the same ingredients. And I think if you look at a global map, there's so many countries of the world where they've used HCQ and ivermectin successfully. The countries with the highest rates of death and damage from the vax are in North America and Western Europe. I think there's no doubt that this is a campaign against white civilization. It's very specifically targeted, and that's a key aspect. Would you not agree, Giuseppe, that overwhelmingly the most likely contents of these mass brain is going to be what they're not able to get into the arms of all Americans, but they're desperately trying to do?
I certainly believe that is plausible, Jim, and I think, and I'll defer to Janet's thoughts, but I think that her brilliant insight into that, this has been on the table for at least 20 years, coming from the rewritten laws of the after the false flag attack by Israel against the United States in 9/11.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Welcome to the crypt.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour.
You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution.
The bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Huh, Jim, we're not hearing you. That's weird.
We're delighted to have Janet Phelan as our featured guest today. She has a new book, At the Breaking Point of History, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled a Pandemic from Trine Day. We're delighted, too, to open the lines after the break. So Mitchell will field any questions you may have for Janet or Scopio or Giuseppe or me. 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Janet, I think among your most important observations have to do with the way in which 9/11 paved the way for the pandemic, especially by way of the Patriot Act. So I'd just like for a recap there to reinforce those points with our audience.
Right. The mainstream media failed to report on the existence or significance of Section 817, which is the expansion of the biological weapons statute, in which the U.S. government gave itself immunity, legal immunity, from violating its own biological weapons laws. Now, this has... obviously has considerable implications and significance.
It certainly does, but it's not. Is it even possible to do that? It's like the U.S. exempting itself from international law. The U.S. cannot do that. It might prefer every criminal would like to exempt themselves from prosecution, but this is quite an outrageous stance. Yeah, go ahead.
And the U.S. has actually successfully done so. I had mentioned prior in the broadcast the Biological Weapons Convention, to which the U.S. is a party. And interestingly enough, the Biological Weapons Convention is one of the only, if not the only, arms convention that has no verification or enforcement protocol. And that what that means, in plain language, is that if a party to the convention is found violating the convention, there's nothing they can do. They can't prosecute. They can't send in a team of investigators. They can't do anything. Now, how can this be? How can such a big, important international accord such as the Biological Weapons Convention have no teeth? And it has no teeth. Well, interestingly enough, this issue came to a head at the BWC back in 2001, because the convention had been operating without these protocols for a number of years, and an ad hoc committee was formed to address this issue, because obviously if you have a convention which you can't enforce, you really have no convention. So this ad hoc committee presented to the convention at large in May of 2001 its long-awaited enforcement protocol, which was immediately boycotted by the United States. The ambassador at that point to the UN was John Bolton. Remember that name? And under his leadership, the entire U.S. State Department got up and walked out. And as a result of that, because of the power and influence that the U.S. has in the world community, the verification protocol was never passed and never put in place. My book goes into this. It also goes into a surprise visit that Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, paid to the Biological Weapons Convention in 2011. And she was there essentially to reinforce Bolton's insistence that a verification protocol was completely inappropriate. So her speech is actually also, let me just say one more thing here. This took place in May of 2001, months before the events of September 11th and the anthrax.
Well, how could Bolton, who's a despicable cat, I cannot abide the guy, seriously make an argument that no verification process is appropriate? I mean, that's absurd on its face.
Well, he made a speech. I discuss his speech in the book, as well as Hillary Clinton's speech. And, you know, they say these things, and everybody goes, oh, yes, you know. So this is what happened. Now, I'd like to posit a different sort of scenario. Let's say we got a verification protocol in place before 9/11 and the anthrax attacks. Would it have been possible? Would it have been conceivable for the United Nations to send an investigative team to the U.S. to figure out what happened? How did these letters get into the mail? I think it would have been possible, but of course, without a verification protocol, nothing is possible. So we have this, what the publisher at Trine Day, Chris Milligan, referred to as a Keystone Cop sort of episode, with the FBI running around trying not to find out who really sent those anthrax letters, and then determining that it was this poor individual who could not possibly have had access to the technology to refine the anthrax, and Dr. Bruce Ivins, who conveniently committed suicide, or did he, on the eve of his purported arrest. So, you know, the U.S. makes sure, I think, that it covers its bases.
Yeah.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and of course the anthrax letters were conveniently mailed to members of Congress who weren't on board with the Patriot Act or had some kind of problem with it. So, you know, this whole thing is pretty clear. It was just sort of a scare tactic to help shake up people because, you know, it was essential they got the Patriot Act through. It was a crucial part of the agenda. And, you know, as far as Michael. It seemed like Trump, you know, sort of surrounded himself with the worst despicable people for the most part. And maybe he was playing 5D chess. Who knows? But, you know, the reason I'm bringing Trump up is it leads to a question I have for you, which is that, you know, they've done such a great job of dividing the populace up in liberals and conservatives. It's those damn liberals, you know, it's the damn conservatives. And really, I think the overarching issue here is, do you believe in freedom? Do you want a government that controls every aspect of your life, or do you not? And that really, I think, transcends the whole liberal conservative issue, because that's what we're facing now. And it's strange how they've completely hijacked all the tenets of classical liberalism. You know, the anti-war movement is pretty much non-existent now. That was one of the things that made the so-called left, you know, worthy of any kind of, you know,
respect.
Thought. But here we have a situation now where they're actually trying to gin up a war with Russia over Ukraine, which is absurd. And the idea that Russia is the aggressor here is equally absurd because they're pushing NATO literally into the backyard onto the border of Russia, and somehow Russia is the aggressor here. And I'm just astonished by how they've divided the public up. And I think Trump was one of the tools by which they did that.
Scorpio, I think you're raising really serious issues, and it would be akin to communist China putting missile batteries on the Mexican border with the United States. It's that absurd. Yes, Janet, go forward. Yeah.
Well, I think that Scorpio's points are extremely astute. I think that Donald Trump's – by the way, I don't vote anymore. I'm not voting red. I'm not voting blue. I think we've got a problem in leadership that transcends parties.
Exactly.
So I don't find anybody worthy to vote for at this point in time. So I am doing my civic duty as a journalist to bring certain issues to life, but voting is not on my agenda right now. So I want to make that clear. Donald Trump, I think through his verbiage, he didn't unite the country. He divided the country. And I know that there are those who believe that he was almost a messiah figure, and I do want to point out, which I have included in the book, that he signed CISA, and what was it, in 2018, I believe, and that was the Critical Infrastructure Security Act, which furthered the protections around problematic critical infrastructure, including this water weapon, by denying that the public had any right of private action regarding these infrastructure projects. So what that means is that if somebody thinks they're getting attacked through infrastructure, water, for example, they can't sue. You can't do a thing about it. That was Donald Trump's contribution to what I have become convinced of is a covert and secret weapon system aimed at selected U.S. populations.
I'm just so troubled increasingly by Trump's role in all these matters. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I really validate Janet's research and I would like to ask her what she thinks is the agenda for the rest of this year in 2023.
Oh, well, I am very heartened by the fact that so many scientists and other people who have access to information are speaking up against this so-called pandemic. I think it is a great beacon of hope that we have so many now, Peter McCullough and Dr. Malone and others who are sounding the alarm. Unfortunately, we've got further problems besides simply the vaccines, which are not getting sufficient attention. You know, what's going to happen? I mean, I think personally, I think we're in the fight for our lives. I think we're in the fight for our any semblance of our liberties and our future. And this is why shows like this are so important, where we get to air these issues and hopefully inform other people. I don't know what's going to happen, Giuseppe. You know, I can only hope. I do what is in my, you know, small domain of being able to do and hope.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that it is cautiously encouraging that McCullough and so many others are coming aboard. I mean, there were some real early clarion calls from people like Dr. Kerry Madej, Dr. Judy Mikovits, mm-hmm. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And now you've got that fella in Europe, Dr. Mike Yeadon, who used to be the chief technology officer for Pfizer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's and there's literally, look at how many tens of thousands. I think it's over 60,000 signatures to the Great Barrington Document. It's just amazing to me. This should have all fallen apart by now, but the global parasites who control all the first world governments want this to happen desperately, this injection, this experimental injection. And it's I mean, you must feel the same way. I step back, I look at everything that's going on. I understand just how satanically evil Big Pharma is, and especially its biologics division, and a fraud like Albert Perla, who's a veterinarian, for God's sake, and all of a sudden he's an expert on human vaccination. It's not vaccination anymore. It's experimental gene therapy. And yet, you know, you've got this not only Stockholm syndrome, but this weird type of peer pressure entrainment where, like, you know, I don't wear the mask for me, brother. I wear it for you kind of lunacy. And it's this – everywhere you look, you just have this mind control literally happening before our eyes. And but finally, I think so many are dying and so many are being maimed, these young athletes especially, with their hearts permanently damaged by this injection that they're forced to take. And Scorpio can tell you – we now know people personally maimed and injured and killed by this this experimental injection, and how anybody with the knowledge that's available by these courageous scientists and whistleblowers, true scientists, why anybody would still go along with this, I cannot understand it. How can anybody think it's a good idea to take these boosters?
Giuseppe, bear in mind that in the past, a tiny fraction, just 5 or 6 deaths, for God's sake, would have been sufficient to pull a medical product off of the line,
right,
by the FDA. So it's symptomatic that the FDA, the CDC, even, I worry, the AMA, not to mention the NIH, are all under the Rothschild control, because there's no possible way that what's taking place is legitimate. Everyone understands it's causing mass damage. You got millions of adverse reports and hundreds of thousands of reported deaths, where we know we're only getting a tiny percentage. So, I mean, everyone in the medical industry is paying attention, understands what's going on, is completely scandalous, violative of all the principles of medicine, including the Nuremberg Code. I mean, this is a grotesque abuse of the of the people, the population of the world, for the sake of a private interest seeking to claim control of all of planet Earth. I mean, it could hardly be writ more large. Would you not agree, Janet?
Well, you know, I think we may have some fundamental disagreement in terms of who is being victimized and who is running this show here. And recently, I got interested in a racial breakdown of who is being actually of COVID deaths, okay? And I contacted CDC, which probably lied to me. they sent me a letter saying, "Oh well, we don't have those numbers available." And they've taken at least a month to respond to me, and I went on their website and they published it 2 weeks before. So they didn't want to release these numbers to me for some reason. So what I'm doing now is I'm trying to figure out a way to go around the CDC and go to other organizations that may have maintained some sort of figures of racial breakdowns of COVID deaths. So my first stop has been police departments, because lo and behold, every single officer who has fallen to COVID has a memorial page, okay? And I have not yet gone through all the police departments. This is a work in process right now. I haven't written about it yet. But what we're seeing so far is that about 90% of the deaths are African-American.
Wow.
And possibly another 5% are Hispanic, and 5% only are white. So as I said, this is a research project that is in process right now, and I haven't gotten all, not only do I have to get the numbers together, but I have to figure out, you know, our police departments heavily African American, or why are they overrepresented? There's a lot of statistics to be accumulated here, but it's looking to me like the CDC did some fudging in their figures, because they're not reporting an overwhelming number of minority deaths. So, you know, it's getting hard to know who to believe and where to get our information. But, you know, what one thing that I am sure of is it doesn't really matter much to me. I mean, a death is a death. And it's not more or less appropriate if minorities die, to me. I mean, it's murder.
But Janet, Janet, let's just go back up the chain then. Who do you think is pulling the strings? You're suggesting that blacks are being targeted rather than whites? I mean, this is fascinating to me.
I'm looking at the at records that will answer my questions. I'm looking right now.
Yeah, but who do you think is pulling the strings? You suggest you don't agree that it's the Rothschilds, which seems to me obvious, because no one else would have the power, the money, the influence to control the vast entities involved here across the globe. So if you have an alternative.
I'm not even sure who. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
No, I just meant if you have an alternative hypothesis or conjecture, I'd love to hear it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, when you look at what's happening in Israel, where you know, Israel has been one of the most successful projects in terms of getting people vaccinated. They're on their fourth booster now. You know, the Rothschilds, I don't even think they're Jewish anymore, are they? I mean, they've intermarried so much with Gentiles that I don't even think, I don't know, you know, but to posit this as a Jewish conspiracy, I think is a big mistake.
Well, that's very, very damn interesting. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, I think if you look into the facts, there's an overwhelming evidence that people claiming to be Jewish. Now, the Rothschilds are a satanic family, and they hide behind regular everyday Jews. And that's why that's how they sort of run this game on us, that you can't criticize the Rothschilds or anybody that's high up in the banking echelon because then you're anti-Semitic. But the evidence is there if you look into it. But it has nothing to do with the everyday Jewish person at all. It's a satanic cabal of people. And so we have to make that differentiation, because one thing they're doing is they're certainly using, you know, racial divides to keep everyone at each other's throats. That's part of this overall strategy, that's been enacted. Everything is about race now. So it's really, I think the game is to keep everybody divided up so that the controllers keep their hands on the levers of power.
Let me repeat, we're going to take callers here after the break. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on the air with us. All we need is your first name and your state. Giuseppe, your thoughts about who's responsible behind the scene. Your thoughts.
Oh, I agree with Janet that it's certainly, you don't want to paint with the broad brush of this is a Jewish conspiracy. And I think it's vital to differentiate the great Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's seminal book, The Synagogue of Satan, which is what the Rothschilds operate as some type of cult-like dark religion that worships Moloch or Baal or Satan or what have you, but do not operate. They're a murderous death cult, and unfortunately they wield the dark magic of usury and have enormous power over many, many powerful corporate, governmental, and academic operatives, and that's why we're seeing this worldwide biologic weapon attack, essentially. But
let me just emphasize before we hit the break, which is upon us, I was talking about the Rothschild banking industry specifically and not Jews generally. I agree most Jews are oblivious of what's going on. We're delighted to have Janet Phelan here. We will be taking your calls after the break. The number again, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on the air with Janet Phelan, Scorpio, Giuseppe, and me.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We're back.
We're back.
Okay.
Scorpio, I want more of your thoughts. Please join.
Well, you know, it is a vexing question to determine, you know, who is actually running the show, but it has to be people that run the banks at the top. I don't see any other explanation, because if you can control the funding of all these organizations, of all of the corporations, and covertly hand out money to people that are aligned with you, and I believe that happens all the time. We're supposed to believe we live in this free market, but all the companies are competing with each other for market share. I don't believe that for a second. And, you know, this goes along with the stock market too, which is become nothing more than a casino and a way to filter money to the top and to cause inflation for the rest of the populace. So these are, you know, again, Janet touched on this before, you know, so many things have been weaponized, and basically everything can be weaponized. You know, a hammer can be weaponized. You can use it to build a house, or you can use it to hit someone over the head with. And our monetary system has been weaponized, and I think it's the root cause of what we're facing here, because without the ability to essentially print up all the money you want and hand it out to your friends covertly, they couldn't do what they do.
I think those are astute observations. Giuseppe, your thoughts? We seem to have, go ahead. Yeah,
I'm here.
Giuseppe,
I would like to ask Janet, before we take callers, what does she hope people take away from her new book?
The ability to stay alive. Yeah, actually, there is discussion not only, okay, if you don't know that, let's say a truck's coming around the corner and they mow you down, you're in quite a bit more of a dangerous situation than somebody who sees the truck coming. So not only do we have discussion of the potential tweaking selective delivery of water, we've got discussion of even another delivery system, which people may not be aware of. So what I'm really trying to do here is to bring to the fore concrete issues that if people understand and are able to incorporate this understanding into their daily lives, can help them survive. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's most certainly a worthy goal. Scorpio, I think you're right. You know, if it's not the banking empire, I mean, who in the world otherwise could exercise this kind of influence across a board, nation, you know, worldwide? It seems to me only the Rothschilds have that capacity. They control the AP and the Reuters, so they can, and through allies in the media, mostly U.S.-Israeli joint citizens, the mainstream media, so they can manage. They seem to have complete domination of the Democrat Party today, where I'm glad to say we are having a series of elections that suggest, reinforce the idea that they're going to go down big time. We just had a mayor in Columbia, South Carolina. He elected a Republican, even though South Carolina's state went, according to the official tab, Biden by 30 points. But now, for the first time in 30 years, they're electing a GOP mayor. I think that's a telling development. Your thoughts?
Who did you want to answer, Jim?
Scorpio.
Oh, okay. Weird.
Figure out how this world actually works. The way power is gained and used in this world. And until we understand that, we'll never figure it out. And also, we've been lied to about how the monetary system works. And if you it's pretty clear that the average person has no idea how the monetary system operates, and the whole thing is sort of kept in a veil of secrecy and sort of a strategy of confusion. And that's the same strategy they've used since the beginning for this whole COVID hoax, is to give contradictory information and make it sound very, you know, complicated. It's all science. You couldn't possibly understand. Just, you know, don't think for yourself and do as you're told.
Giuseppe. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that Scorpio's exactly right, and Janet's advocation to learn how to stay alive and read her book, which, by the way, Janet, where can people buy your book?
The book is available. I've got a copy here so you can see what it looks like. Here you go. The Breaking Point of History, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled the Pandemic. It's available on Amazon. It's available on PrimeDay.com and Barnes & Noble. Basically, you got to buy it online. It's recently come out in an ebook as well. So hopefully that will fit some people's needs as well. So
excellent, excellent. How do you see all this tied into, for example, issues like gun control, which seem to be falling by the wayside? We have a new poll that 80% of Americans say gun control laws do nothing to reduce crime and have only made big cities more dangerous. Would you tie in the gun control effort with various staged events where you may or may not have a position about Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even Las Vegas, where I've done a vast amount of collaborative research, and I can assure you every one of those was staged, and with the possible exception of Stephen Paddock, whose body is on the floor of the suite on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay, nobody died at any of those events. Even Heather Heyer, who allegedly was killed in a car crash, actually died the following day from a heart attack, and where the woman, Susan Brough, who is supposed to have been, you know, in great pain and distress over the loss of her daughter, actually played the role of Donna Soto in Sandy Hook as the mother of Victoria Soto. So they're recycling these crisis actors, which is so grossly insulting, but they want to put it right in our face that they're in control and there's not a thing we can do about it. Your thoughts about any of the above?
Well, you know, I think you've done far more work on these events than I have, Jim. So I'm really going to not weigh in here. I will say, though, that this whole impetus, if it is an impetus to take away people's gun rights, has always seemed a little kind of suspect to me, because I don't think our guns pose that much of a threat. The government, the U.S. government, is so militarized. The police are so militarized now that that they have weapons that are simply beyond people's knowledge or belief, which they can and apparently will deploy if they feel like it. So, for example, let's just talk for a second about the water weapon, which is something I'm very conversant with. Can you shoot the water? I mean, how are you going to protect yourself if somebody decides to deploy this particular weapon system against you? How can you protect yourself against it with a gun? How can you protect yourself from a drone attack with a gun? So I think there is, personally, I think there's an overemphasis on the Second Amendment, as if these guns actually protect us, when it's becoming increasingly apparent that they're pea shooters next to the sorts of weapons that the U.S. government.
Well, here's another issue right down the middle of the alley with regard to your research. COVID concentration camps are now being activated in America. In the state of Washington, they're pushing a bill that would authorize health officers to kidnap anyone at gunpoint and throw them in a COVID concentration camp. The people targeted under this tyrannical rule need not show any sign of sickness or infection to be ripped from their homes and families, but they're declining to take the vax. Yeah, this seemed to me very, very central as a result or manifestation of the development you've been discussing in your book. Would you comment? Do you foresee this as an imminent development? It appears to be taking place already.
It does appear to be taking place, and it certainly is taking place, let's say, in places like Australia, where they have clearly designated facilities for people who aren't towing the line as far as the vaccines go. I think it's a very dangerous scenario.
And, yeah, this governor, the state of Washington, appears to be a complete lunatic. I cannot believe, but then he's hardly alone in the Democrat Party, which seems to be turning into a party of lunatics. Scorpio, your thoughts?
You're muted. Muted, Scorpio.
Giuseppe, if Scorpio is unavailable, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that every time more truth with the intrepid actual journalists like Janet Phelan come out and reveal what's really going on, they double down. And it looks, you know, we've been hearing about these so-called FEMA camps for decades. All of a sudden, there really are COVID camps. And I mean, literally, let's face it, the gain of function bioweapon known as SARS-CoV-2, anyone in modest health, the age of 65 or lower, has a 99.997% survival rate. So most of these people with all these lies, these gaslighting lies of deaths, did not die from COVID. They died with COVID, because the common cold is ubiquitous. It's in every human. It's in every mammal. It's in reptiles. It's in the dirt, for God's sake. And anyone who's had any kind of one of these other gain-of-function bioweapons like SARS and the various things that are always accidentally released, we already have immunity. And to me, the real pandemic is fear, the virus of fear, which is enslaving these weak-minded normies to go along with this deadly agenda. It's crazy.
That's why they don't want to distinguish between cases, you know, between test results, people who tested positive, and those who are actually infected, hospitalized, or die. We all have coronavirus. It's ubiquitous, as you observe. So every one of us tested for a coronavirus will have a coronavirus. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Yes, Jim, sorry about that. I was muted. Operator error there.
No
you know,
problem.
I think it's important, you know, that when points of disagreement come up, to allow that. It's not a big deal if we disagree about certain things. You know, I think social media has trained people to go absolutely ballistic when there's a disagreement, and in a way that you never would if you were talking to somebody face to face. That's part of the mind control we're under. And, you know, none of us have the whole picture, you know, at our disposal. You know, there's so much unknown information to all of us because it's all being kept very secret, the real agenda. But as far as guns goes, I think, unfortunately, you know, the trajectory it's going to go on is that they're going to have to bring the military out worldwide. When they completely pull the plug on the old system, they're going to have to bring the military out. You're going to see boots on the ground, guys with machine guns patrolling the streets, and this is going to happen worldwide. If you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, there is no other option. Because the new system is going to be very, very unpopular, and the only way to enact it is through force. And that's what's going to happen. I am absolutely convinced. I don't know when, but it'll be before the year 2030. I can assure you of that.
Well, Scorpio, based on long experience with you, I feel you have virtually prophetic powers. I don't doubt this whatsoever. What you're describing is coming. Giuseppe, would you not agree?
Something's coming, Jim. I certainly believe that, and it's not going to be something that's going to make us all feel warm and fuzzy. How about you, Janet?
Oh, I think we're knee-deep in the big muddy, and it's rising every day.
Yeah,
exactly. Isn't it astonishing the rapidity with which our world has been turned upside down, inside out? I mean, this is in the space of less than 2 years. We've gone from relatively normal lives experiencing freedom of speech, more or less freedom of press, but it's been compromised. Amazon's banned 6 of my books, for example, and that was already taking place. But it's stunning how quickly the world has changed, and the Democrats have proved to be a totally communist. I mean, I used to think it was ridiculous to describe one party or the other as a communist party, but today that seems to fit the Democrat style, or a fascistic party. It's all completely gone, spun absolutely out of control. Janet, your thoughts in Scorpio?
Yes. Well, I'd like to posit something. I want to say something that might be considered a bit unpopular these days. The Democrat Party has changed into go government go, right?
Yep.
I mean, basically, that seems to be the message now. But I'd like to say something about the conservatives as well, because they're kind of go corporation go, right? So the freedoms that the conservatives talk about, which seem on the surface to be those freedoms which we hold so very dear, could very well be the freedoms for the corporations to make all this money and to operate without regulation or control. So it almost seems to me like we've got a kind of a Punch and Judy show going on. You know, we've got the left, go government, go. We got the right, go corporation, go. And I'm of the opinion that we've got the same puppet master.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And this touches, I agree. And this sort of touches upon what I was going about earlier, is that it's really about freedom. It's not so much about liberal versus conservative anymore. It's about, do you want to have a government that controls every aspect of your life? And they use the Democrats for social changes to amp up government control over social things, whereas, yeah, the Republicans seem to be there enabling the corporations to take over the economic factors. But what's coming is the new system is essentially going to be a government that runs everything. We're seeing the corporate merging of government and the big pharma as part of this Operation COVID, because, you know, oh, the vaccines are free. Oh, get your free vaccine. No, the government's paying for these vaccines. So in essence, it's a corporate merger between government and big pharma. And we're seeing, you know, there's lots of evidence to show that the big tech companies are all in bed with the government as well through the so-called deep state and intelligence agencies. So this is what's coming. It's a new system where the government and the corporations become one.
Well, I think that's a very astute comment.
That's Mussolini said that fascism could equally well be defined as corporatism because it was a merger of big business with big government, leaving no one to stand up for the consumer or the ordinary citizen. Yeah, Scorpio.
Yeah, well, the only difference, though, not to defend Mussolini, but in Mussolini's vision, the corporations had to have had to serve the nation. And what we have now is it's going to be sort of an international fascism, right, where the corporations don't serve any nation or any people. They serve the globalist masters only.
Well, we're approaching the home stretch here, and I'd like each of us to have the opportunity for a few summarizing words. Janet, would you like to say a few more words about your book? I think we're all very favorably impressed that you published this. It could not be more timely. And you seem to have done a very nice job of dissecting key elements that might otherwise be overlooked. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Thank you very much for that endorsement. I think that, again, that it's very important for us to understand the events surrounding the coronavirus in context. And that context includes years, if not decades, of duplicity by the U.S. as the leader of the free world. I'm certainly not suggesting that other countries haven't been engaged in similar acts of duplicity, but as the leader of the free world, I think the U.S. operates in a special sort of spotlight. And the other real impetus in the book is to discuss concretely the previously unmentionable delivery systems, which can equally put people at risk, not only through an alleged coronavirus.
Giuseppe, would you like to offer your observations about Janet's book and presentation today?
Well, I'll defer because we have a question in the chat room from Mitzi, who I know is a skilled acupuncturist, and she asks, Janet, does she notice a huge amount of 5G apparatus wiring down there? I was just down there and was shocked at the massive amount of 5G towers, antenna, and wiring everywhere, even in small towns and villages. So are you seeing Mexico committing to 5G?
I don't believe that Mexico has rolled out 5G at this point in time. I know that there are certainly elements who are stating that this entire pandemic is actually can be attributed to 5G. I do know that there are countries which have reported high cases of coronavirus that don't have 5G, so I'm not stating that there may not be some effects that could be attributed to electromagnetic frequencies. It just doesn't seem to me to be the sole generating sort of source.
I think that was an excellent question. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to thank Jan for coming on the show, and I'd really like to have her come on again in the future and really take a deep dive into this water system thing, because I think that is something I've only heard you talk about, quite honestly, and I think it may be part of the reason why you personally have gotten so much heat, because it's an issue that's not talked about. But I think the important overall issue here is there's multiple delivery platforms to make the populace sick and possibly kill many people. I believe that is part of what's coming. It's already being played out right now. The Georgia Guidestones are certainly an indicator of that, as well as many other things. So I think it's important to look at all the different weaponized platforms that are available to enact this agenda. And the vaccine certainly is one of them. This spreading of toxins through multiple means is a really big issue. I hope to go into it further.
Giuseppe, I want to return for your thoughts. I think you brought in a very appropriate question from the chat room, but I'd like your assessment overall of Janet's work and her presentation here today.
Oh, I look forward to ordering and reading Janet's book, and I think that she is definitely over the target, hence her exile in Mexico, and I look forward to her returning as well.
I think that's unanimous, Janet. We're all very impressed that you published at the breaking point of history how decades of U.S. duplicity enabled the pandemic. I do believe 5G is a key element here, that there's a graphene oxide element in the vaccines that create a brain electromagnetic interface, whereby the whole slogan that in it's 2035, I own nothing and I'm happier than I've ever been, because you no longer have your own thoughts, your own feelings are being controlled by 5G, which has that capacity to control your thoughts and feelings. So you've lost our creativity, individuality, or even our ethics. But apart from that issue, which deserves further exploration, we could not be happier here, and especially when you're under the weather. I thought you did commendably. Yeah. And you stood up well and added a lot of valuable information in the conversation. So if you wanted to make one final thought for all of us, for the audience, you're welcome before we hit the break.
Yeah, I think the final thought I'd like to leave people with is do.
Officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.